They were in a state of aninus. Their brothers had died. Now the babiva died. So those of Yisama were instructed they should eat the mincha. Even though the rule is learned that from a kavachim. The pasuk says by vidui meiser. When do you say vidui meiser? On Erev Pesach of the 4th year, Erev Pesach of the 7th year. So if the farmer observed all the dinim, then he recites the Vida Maisa. So one of the statements that he says in the Vida Maisa is, he says, starts off, B'yati HaKodesh Ben Abayis, and he says, well, I chalti b'yoni mimenu. I didn't eat the Maisa Sheni in a state of aninus. So Aaron HaKoyim made a Kalvachomer. If you're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni HaKal in a state of aninus, a Kalvachomer, you're not allowed to eat Korbonus in a state of aninus. So Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Aaron of Bonav, Ichlu Matzah Seitzlam is Beach, even though they were in a state of Aninus, they should eat the Mincha. So then, Sirah Chatas Dorosh Dorosh Moshe Vehine Sorov, and he asked, why did they burn? Madua Lo Echalta Masa Chatas Vemkaim HaKodesh? They should have eaten the Chatas. Aaron says, no, what's the Tzushto? You were told the Hayru Ashoh, you were told, and except there's a Kalvachaymer. Aaron made a Kalvachaymer from Maisa Sheni. Ma Maisa Hakal, it doesn't have the high level of Kedusha of Karbonis. You're not allowed to eat it in the state of Aninus. A Kalvachama Karbonis, you're not allowed to eat. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, was told that they should eat it. He was only told about the Mincha. The Mincha was a Hayru Ashoh once in the history of the world. They brought this Mincha on the Yom HaShmini LeMiluim. But the Seir HaChatos was the Soy Rosh Chodesh. The Yom HaShmini LeMiluim was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So that was a Korban Doris. So that's what Aaron argued, that Doris Mishol Lo Yalfinon. You were told regarding the Mincha, which is a Hayru Ashoh, that they should eat it even though it's in the state of Aninus, but it doesn't apply. You can't learn out to the Korban Doris. That's what Rashi quotes. That's a Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf, a whole sugya in Zvachim. So that's based on the idea, that Gemara is based on the idea that Kol HaTorah Kula Inyan Echod, all the dinim in the Torah fit into one big pattern, into one big mosaic. And that's why you learn out Midin Echod Lachaveri, you learn out from one din to the other, Ma'amatzinu, Kal B'chaymer, Ma'amatzinu. You learn out from one din to the other, but all the dinim fit into one pattern, that's only the dinim that are all the duras. Whatever Zahir Rashoah doesn't fit in. So that's our Gemara, that's based on our Gemara also, Chavtes, Omid Aleph. On the second wide line, the Gemara learns up in the pasuk Kashatziba Oso Elokim Avram Avinu was Mal his son. Kashatziba Oso Elokim HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Avram he should be Malas on the mother is not mechuyav to take care of the Mila of the son. The Gemara says Ashkechon Miyad. You only see when Avram Avinu was given the mitzvah Mila that was only a Hayru Ashoh. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Perigid Anosha that the fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvah Mila is not because it was given to Avram Avinu. Whatever was given to any other Navi before or after Moshe Rabbeinu is only a Hayru Ashoh by definition. What was given to Moshe Rabbeinu is sometimes a Hayru Ashoh and sometimes a Din L'Doris. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, shouldn't leave over the mon. Everyone should knock on the next door neighbor's door on Erev Pesach and ask for matanas. That was Hayru Ashoh. A lot of dinim were Hayru Ashoh. And all the that's all Hayru Ashoh. That's the Mishnah in Pesachim on the Abtzadik Vav lists off Ma Ben Pesach Mitzrayim Pesach Doris. There are different dinim. Pesach L'Doris, there's no din you have to eat it b'chipazin. You don't have to wear your shoes. You can eat the Korban Pesach L'Doris without your shoes on. That was a Hayru Ashoh only in Mitzrayim. Al Yetzirah Pesach Beisad Boiker. That was only a Hayru Ashoh. That's not a Din L'Doris. There are many. The Mishnah and Tosfos there, Pesachim quotes the Tosefta. There were quite a few differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doris. So that's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis. Mishnah has a machlokes Hatanoim in Perek Gid Anoshe, where the Gid Anoshe is noig b'behemah tmeya or not. An elephant, you have a Gid Anoshe, is it osa b'achila or not? So what does it depend on? So the Gemara explains what it depends on. The Mishnah kemat says b'ferish. If the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe was given Kodem Matan Torah, so Kodem Matan Torah, they were permitted to eat the elephant's meat. It was mutter. The mitzvah Gid Anoshe implies if you're allowed to eat the rest of the animal, so the Gid Anoshe you're not allowed to eat. If the whole animal is straight, so you don't have to say that the Gid Anoshe may not be eaten. So the whole mitzvah of Gid Anoshe, you shouldn't eat Gid Anoshe, goes on kosher animals. So if the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe was given, Kodem Matan Torah. So Kodem Matan Torah, there was no prohibition to eat non-kosher animals. So then Gidon Nosher should be Noig B'Behemet Tameo. But if Yol Gidon Nosher was only given a Har Sinai, wasn't given Kodem Matan Torah, wasn't given before Har Sinai, and a Har Sinai, the prohibition of eating the non-kosher animals was given, but self-understood that Gidon Nosher only applies to Behemet Torah. So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim in the Mishnah. So we pask, and that Gidon Nosher was only given a Har Sinai, and in Zainan, the Din is Zainan Noig. Gidon Nosher is not Noig B'Behemet Tameo. So Tosus learns that that's the Machlokes HaTanoim. Tosus on the Daf in Chulin, Per Gidon Nosher learns, that's the Machlokes HaTanoim, the historical Machlokes. When was the mitzvah of Gidon Nosher given? And in Parshas Vayishlach, it says, Alkein lo yochum in Yisrael is Gidon Nosher. The Malach broke Yaakov Avinu's leg, and that's why the Jewish people don't eat Gidon Nosher. So the Machlokes HaTanoim, how do you translate the words? Alkein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael means the children of Yaakov Avinu were not permitted to eat Gidon Nosher because the Malach broke his leg. We should remember that story. And the din of Gidon Nosher was given right away on that occasion. Akein leyochel b'nei Yisrael. Oh no, b'nei Yisrael means the Jewish people. This mitzvah wasn't given till centuries later. After Matan Torah, the mitzvah, all together with all the other 613 mitzvahs, Gidon Nosher was given. It's written here that you should know what the historical background is, but the mitzvah wasn't given till way later. So that's a simple pshat in the machloikas. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos learns not so. He says everyone agrees. He has a veracious rab. Everyone agrees that Gidon Nosher was given to Yaakov Avinu. Historically, it existed before Matan Torah. The question is, why are we today still obligated to observe Gidon Nosher? Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, in the Mishnah, we don't accept this, but Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that because Yaakov was in stopping Gidon Nosher, it's binding on all the future generations. We don't accept his opinion, and the Rambam says it's in the Pirush HaMishnayos, this is an Iker Godel in Emuna, in Hashkofa, that a mitzvah to be binding is only what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Gemara learns out from the concluding pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, as well as the concluding pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar. It's practically the same. The last pasuk in Michil Kaisai reads, Eila HaMitzvah Sashetziv HaShem Es Moshe Ben Yisrael Ba'ar Sinai. Eila is a miut. Eila, these and only these are the mitzvahs that are binding l'doros. A mitzvah has the connotation. That's our Gemara over here in the second wide line. The word mitzvah is ein loshen tzab, el loshen ziriz miyadu l'doros. The term mitzvah is a technical term. It means that it's binding throughout all the future generations. So eila, these and only these are the mitzvahs that are binding l'doros. Hashem tziva Hashem es Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu v'yazdon hanavim. The mitzvahs had to go through Moshe Rabbeinu. So even though Gidon Nosher was given the Yaakov Avinu, but it had to be repeated in Har Sinai. That's the same pasuk and the conclusion of Chumash Bamidbar, practically the same, but it's with a slight shinui lashon. Eila mitzvahs v'hamishpatim. There it says Eila mitzvah. Here Eila mitzvahs v'hamishpatim. Asher tziva Hashem biyad Moshe ben Yisrael biyavis mer ba yad yin recha. These and only these are the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Gemara has in the first half of Megillah. Eila mitzvah mikan, from these psukim, the Mashoah is not sure whether the Mashoah in Megillah, the Abbe, is not sure whether the Gemara is quoting the concluding pasuk in Chukaisa or the concluding pasuk in Masai. Eila de miut, mikan, from this pasuk we derive, shein novi v'sharlach hadash dova miyata. No other novi will ever be given a nevuah that will be binding l'doros. That's by definition. That's what nevuah means. Nevuah means harashah. And Moshe Rabbeinu had Hai Rasha, but he also had Dinam L'Doros. And the only one who gave Dinam L'Doros is Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Gidon Nosher that this Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and HaChamim, we accept the HaChamim's opinion that Gidon Nosher is not Noig B'Behemet Tameo. Because Gidon Nosher was Nemar B'Sinai, but he says not that it wasn't given before. No, historically it was given to Yaakov Avinu. Whatever was given to Yaakov, even whatever was given to Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah milah. At the time it was given to Avraham Avinu, it was only a hirasha. It wasn't the din l'doros. It became a din l'doros at Har Sinai when Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. Ben Shmonos Yomim, you should do the bris milah. So when it was repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu, then it became a din l'doros. Gidon Nosher was also. We don't have it in Chumash. But this pasuk says, "Akein leochem b'nei Yisrael Gidon Nosher," refers to later. It was given to Yaakov Avinu, but it was repeated later at Har Sinai, even though it's not written twice in the Chumash. That's how the Rambam interpreted the Mishnah. So that's what our Gemara is bringing out, this idea. The Gemara asks, "Ein li alo hayrasha?" Maybe the mitzvah milah that was given Ashkechon miyad in the generation of Avraham Avinu till Maimon HaSinai, the mothers are not mechuyev to mal the children. The doris binolan. How do you know when mitzvah mila was repeated at HaSinai? Now it became a mitzvah ledoris. So maybe now the mothers are obligated. Maybe in the Hora, sure. From the days of Moshe, from the days of Avraham Avinu till Maimon HaSinai, it was a Hora Shor to do Mila. But maybe after Moshe Rabbeinu repeats the mitzvah Mila, maybe then it is binding on the mothers. So the Gemara, no. Tana de Beirav Shmuel have a brisa. Kol mokum shenema tzabein olal zivas miyad ol doris. Ichsib ay tzabes Yeshua. Tzabes Yeshua b'chaskev v'hemtzeu. Miyad ol doris. Yeah. Tzabes Yeshua, yeah. Gemara says zeros. How do you know that Tzabes loshen zeros, miyad ol doris? How do you know that it's zeros? Zeros, dichsib. How do you know that the word tzab has a connotation of zeros? Tzabes Yeshua b'chaskev v'hemtzeu. How do you know that it has the added connotation of miyad ol doris? Dichsib me'ayom ha'shitzib ha'shem ha'holo l'doray seichem. So the word mitzvah has that special connotation. That's where the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. First half of the Sefer HaMitzvah, he has 14 klolim. The first one who translated the Sefer HaMitzvahs, La Rambam, wrote in the unique style of Hebrew. It's a difficult style of Hebrew. That's why now they have new translations of Sefer HaMitzvahs. So he calls it the 14 Sharoshim. Today, if you were someone would translate, he'd say the 14 klolim, the 14 rules and regulations. He called it the 14 Sharoshim. Sharosh Aleph, Sharosh Beis. So Sharosh Beis is Sharosh Aleph. You don't include mitzvahs derabbanan. Taryag mitzvahs are mitzvahs derais. Shorish Beis, you only include Torah Shebichsav, not Torah Shebalpeh. Shorish Gimel, I think, is you only include whatever is Noig L'doris, whatever is Zohar Roshah doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, because by definition, the word mitzvah has the connotation Miyad L'doris. So Midash HaTorah Nedreshes Behem, that you learn out Midinechot L'Chaveiroi, that's a Mamatzinu, Kal V'Chaimet. All the dinim fit into one big pattern, that's the dinim that are all Noig L'doris, fit into a pattern. If something is Zohar Roshah, it doesn't fit in. So that's what Aaron said. There is Mishal Ayafinun. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you were only told regarding the Mincha. Ichlo Matzah Seitz Halam Mizbech. The Mincha was a Hirah Shah Korban. That was once in the history of the world. But the Soyer Rosh Chedesh, that's a Din L'Doris. You can't learn out. The Vilna Goyen quotes from the Zohar on that Pasuk. The Zohar has an interesting expression. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah Shebichsav and Arakan represents Torah Shebalpeh. Because Aaron HaKohen made a Kal V'Chaimer. If Ma'aseh Sheni, HaKal, Enoinen is not allowed to eat, Lo Yechal to be Yonim Imenu, so Kal V'Chaimer Kotshim, you're not allowed to eat. Moshe Rabbeinu is as if he was flat. Just what it says in the Chumash. It says in the Chumash, Ma'aseh Sheni, Enoinen can't eat Ma'aseh Sheni. But Aaron HaKohen made a pilpul over here. The pilpul was Torah Shebal Peh. And then the Torah Shebal Peh is recorded in the Chumash. Hein, Achal Tichatas Hayam, so now it became Torah Shebichsav. But originally, when Aaron HaKohen said it, it was a Kal V'Chaimer, it was Torah Shebal Peh. That's what the Vilna Goyen and the commentary on Chumash, and that there is Aliyah written by the Talmidim. So they quote the Vilna Goyen, said over from the Zohar that Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah Shebichsav in this incident, and Aaron HaKohen represents Torah Shebal Peh. Okay. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says, he has the final say. The Gemara says he can argue with Yeshua ben Nun. The Gemara says an expression. Even if Yeshua ben Nun would say it, I would still disagree. I wouldn't accept. You have a right to disagree. In a later generation, you can disagree with anybody in an earlier generation. If you're entitled to an opinion. Most people who think they're entitled to an opinion are not. The person has to be knowledgeable. Has to have a masorah. So if a person is entitled to an opinion, you can even disagree with Yeshua ben Nun. You can't disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu, though. Whatever, it's called Taras Moshe. Can't disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Rav Soloveitchik told over a story that in the Sefer HaKabbalah, I think the history book by the Ravid, the third Ravid, we said that there were three Ravids, two of them are in learning. We spoke about it in the Shir, on Shabbos, I forgot it anyway. So the two Ravids were learning, the father-in-law and the son-in-law, and then the third Ravid wrote a history book. The history book has all kinds of Baba Mises. So one of the Baba Mises that he has is that the Rabbeinu Tam, this isn't Tosfos, this part, the Rabbeinu Tam had a machlekes with his brother-in-law, Rabbeinu Leo, regarding Kshartam Leos Al Yadecha, what does it mean? So Rabbeinu Tam said, like we do, Kshartam means the Hidu, to tighten the Ritzua on your arm. And the Rabbeinu Leo said, no, you have to tie the knot. Kshartam means you have to make a knot every day. Does it mean you have to untie the kesher shal yad and tie the kesher shal yad every day? Or does it mean, no, the kesher shal yad you leave, but when you lay tefillin, you have to tie a knot, not just to have it tight. So that's two versions of what the Rabbein, we don't paskin like him anyway, we follow the Rabbein Tam, Shatran just means hiduk. But the Rabbein Eliyahu, that's a question, what did he mean to say? So that part says in Taisvus and the Mordechai, they quote the Machlokes Rabbein Tam and his brother-in-law Rabbein Eliyahu. And then in Sefer HaKabbalah, the Baba Maisa books, has that they made up that they're going to ask Moshe Rabbeinu. They're going to bring Moshe Rabbeinu back from the dead. So they went to one of the Mekubalim. I don't even know if he lived in the same generation of Rabbeinu Tam. The Baba Maisa, they make up, they went to Rabbi Chilmi Paris or something. I'm not sure if they lived in the same generation. He asked them he should bring back Moshe Rabbeinu from the dead, and they're going to ask him. They brought Moshe Rabbeinu from the dead, and he asked them when the Rabbeinu Shalom told the Kshatim Lo Sal Yadecha, what did it mean? He said, no, it means you have to tie a knot. So Rabbeinu Tam said, go back to your grave. You don't know what you're talking about. We're not going to accept what you said. So Rab Soloveitchik said, his grandfather Rab Chaim held that that's apikursus. You're not allowed to disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's above a mice anyway, but he said, you're not allowed to say over such above a mice. There's such a, I have a, my father had a sefer in his library. Somebody found the Ksav Yad of Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. There's still many more Kisva Yad from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, from him and from his Talmidim in the city Prague. There have been many Kisva Yad still, if someone wants to publish, is what to work on. So someone found the Ksav Yad where Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz gave Pshetlach and Medrash Plius on every Sedra. So I think it's called Amude Yohainasan. I forgot about it now. I think it's called Amude Yohainasan. So every Sedra he has Amude Yohainasan, a word from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. Then he has his own word, whatever. Amude, one page is Amude Yohainasan, a Parshas Bereshit. Then the next page, Amude Shmuel. I think his name is Shmuel, the one who published it. Then a Parshas Nerach, Amude Yohainasan, and Amude Shmuel. And every Parsha he has a Pshetla and a Medrash Plia from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. Then he has on his own. So in the beginning of the Sefer, he has a collection of Haskomas. That Rabban gave Haskamas on the Sefer. So he has a Haskama from Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Then he has an asterisk. You read on the bottom of the page. He says he was going around to collect Haskamas for the Sefer. And he came to Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Rab Chaim started to flip through the book, the manuscript. And he said, I'll only give a Haskama if you delete this Shtikl Torah, because this is Apikursus. Because he had a Shtikl Torah based on some Medrash Plia that the Machloik is between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. Before Yitzias Mitzrayim was a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Moshe Rabbeinu held like the Ravid, and the Parah held like the Rambam. So he said, what do you mean? If Moshe Rabbeinu held like the Ravid, the Rambam can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no room to negotiate. That's up because it's called Teres Moshe, Zichra Teres Moshe Abdi. The Noli Malachi ends up Zichra Teres Moshe. You have no right to disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu. You have a right to disagree with Yeshua ben Nun, but you can't disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu. So he said, he'll only give him a haskama on the condition that he doesn't print that. You have to delete that Shtikl Torah, because that medrash, that interpretation medrash is apikursus. So he said he doesn't know if they printed it, because he gave the whole manuscript in to Warsaw, to the publisher to print it. And he told him to leave out the first 8 pages or so, till the first 6 pages. He wants to collect haskamas. So he writes, he came back to Warsaw, and he saw that they had already printed the rest of the sefer, and they laid out the print for the first section, leaving out the first 6 or 8 pages for Haskama. So there was room to print Haskama, but he couldn't change, this is ready in Parshas Boy or something. But Moshe Rabbeinu is negotiating with Paro, so he couldn't delete that, what Rab Chaim said. So he writes in the footnote on the Haskama, says it feels bad to leave out Haskama from Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Rab Chaim gave him only on it tonight, that he deletes it. So he says he should all know that that's apikursus. Rab Chaim said that Pshikl Torah is apikursus. That Rab Soloveitchik didn't say, but that's in print that you can check on your own. So yeah, the Gemara says, even if Yeshua ben Nun says, I have the right to disagree, that's Tanoim and Amoroim, till the days of Rabin and Rabashi, you have a right to disagree. That's what we mentioned. The Gemara says that Zes Sefer told the Sodom, in Parshas Bereshit, Zes Sefer told the Sodom, doesn't mean that the Chumash is a history book of mankind. It's poorly written. The history book is Eimuk the Mambucha Batar. Things are out of order. It's not a history book. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah and in Bob Metzias, that Sefer Tolos Sodom is a reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shol Dor Damarishan, Sifra Shol Dor Damarishan. What Sifra Shol Dor Damarishan? Dor Dor B'Dorsha, Dor Dor B'Chachama, Dor Dor B'Sofim. So the Gemara quotes, snatches lines here and there from that Sifra Shol Dor Damarishan. So one line is that Ravina Ravashi Soif Hayroa. That's the end of the period of Psak Halacha. What do you mean? That Moshe Feinstein used to Paskan Halachas. He lived many centuries after Ravina Ravashi. The answer is that the full, that's what we spoke about yesterday, the full Masorah of transmission of the Torah, Shebal Peh, Bal Peh, Masorah is on the Torah Shebal Peh. Masorah is transmitted by Peh till the days of Ravina Ravashi. That's when they wrote down the Mishnayos and they started to teach Mitoch HaKsav. So those Chachmei HaMasorah who come after Ravina Ravashi, in our generation, we give a public shiur, we read the Gemara, we read Shulchan Aruch, we read the Rambam. All of the public shiurim are given Mitoch HaKsav. So that's not the full Din HaMasorah. So those who live after Ravina Ravashi don't have the right to disagree with the Psak HaMekubal in the days of Ravina Ravashi. But whoever, from Yeshua Ben Nun till Ravina Ravashi, Al Pidin, each one has a right to disagree with the other one. That's what we pointed out yesterday. That the Gemara says, Ein bez niochel levatel, libe bez nechavera. Again, God lemen ha-mechach v'meminyan. So all the Rishonim quotes from the Yerushalmi, the beginning of Shvius, beginning of Masech HaShvius, that's the correct pronunciation, Shvius, Shmita. The Galatianer pronounced Shvuas, Shvius. But in Masech HaShmita, Masech HaShvius, so in the first Mishnah, the Yerushalmi, all the Rishonim quote the Yerushalmi, Ein bezn yochel levatel only goes if the later bezn wants to repeal a rabbinic enactment that was instituted by an earlier bezn. So then to repeal it, you have to be gadol b'chokhmah v'minyan. But if you're disagreeing what the din is, Yeshua ben Nun thinks that the din should be like this. And one of the Amorim thinks the din should not be like that. So he says, even if Yeshua ben Nun says it, I have the right to disagree with you. That's what we mentioned yesterday. The Kes Mishnah says that the Gemara makes it to Yufta against an Amora. Amora says it did, and they show from all the Mishnais and all the Brises that it's not correct. So they say to Yufta. Why is it a Yufta? If everybody has a right to disagree with everybody else, why is it a Yufta? So the Kes Mishnah says, the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, the Amoraim had a policy that if they can see both sides of the issue, but they think it's more correct this way, but then they're going to see all the Tanaim hold the other way, so they're going to give in. So they would give in. But if they just don't see the other side at all, they have a right to disagree. There is no halacha that an Amori cannot disagree with a Tana. That's what Gemara says, Rab Tana hu palik. What do you mean al pidin? Only a Tana can disagree with a Tana. An Amori can't disagree with a Tana. So the Kes Mishnah says it's not correct. Amori has a right to disagree with a Tana. But the Amoraim had this attitude. They're not going to, if all the Tanaim say one way, and we can see that, we can dehear that idea, but we think it's more correct the other way, so then they're going to give in. And Rab never had that attitude. Rab Tanhu Palga never had that attitude. He felt free to disagree, even if he could understand that side. He felt he's entitled to his opinion. The other Amoraim didn't do like that. So again, so this Gemara is an important, this Gemara, Chav Tesem and Aleph, is a very important clause that Ashkechan Miyad, the second wide line of Chav Tesman, Ashkeham Yad, you only see that Sori Imeinu was not Mechuyev in Milas HaBen. At that time, Mila was only Ha'iru Ashur. L'doris Midon, how do you know that even when Bris Mila is Achiv, L'doris means after Maimon HaSinai? How do you know that the din still is the same? So Talmud Lama, Kasha Tziba, Oso Alekim. Tziba is Miloshin, Ziris Miyara L'doris. So the Pasuk says, Oso, Velo Oso, even in the Tziba aspect, even when it's a din L'doris, it's also like that. That's an important Gemara. Fine. Then the Gemara says about, yeah, what did the Gemara say about Bris Mila? The father is mechuyev to be mal the son on the Yom HaShmini. If the father isn't mal, hech de lo mal yavua, mechayev beidin elemim malay. The bezin has an obligation to be mal him. Hech de lo mal beidin, if the bezin didn't take care of him, mechayev ihul elemim al nafshim. When he becomes by mitzvah, is mechuyev to be mal himself, to take care of his own bris mila. Yeah. Then the Gemara says about Pidyon HaBen Levdoso on the sixth wide line. Levdoso midon, how do you know the father is mechuyev to do Pidyon HaBen? Tam la mekob b'chob banecha tivde. Hech de la parke yavu, if the father didn't do the Pidyon HaBen, mechayev yu le mifrike. He has to do his own Pidyon HaBen. So the Rivosh is quoted in Yeridea, in Hilchas Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen, for some strange reason, they put everything in one simen, shinhei. It's a very long simon. It's like Shimon Shin Lamed Aleph in Yeridei also. Long, has all the mitzvah klis barot. He's stuck into one simon. It's out of proportion. So Shin Hei has all the dinim of Pidyon HaBen. Really, if I would have written a Shulchan Aruch, I would have written many simonim on Pidyon HaBen. It's only one simon. So the Ramo quotes the Rivosh that Pinyan HaBen can only be done by the father, and if the father's not Jewish, let's say the father's a goy, or the father's not alive, or the father is not religious, he's not observant, he doesn't want to do Pinyan HaBen. So then no one else can do it, the Bezin can't do it, no one else can do Pinyan HaBen. When the child becomes my mitzvah, he'll do his own Pinyan HaBen. How does he know? Because you see, by the contrast, by the Bris Milah, it says, if the father doesn't take care of the Bris Milah, Bezin should take care. Bezin doesn't take care of them, when it becomes by mitzvah, he's mechuyav to take care of it himself. And by Pinyan HaBen, you don't have the middle stage. The Braisa, the Rivosh assumes that's a hemshech of the same Braisa. That the Braisa says, it's not a Braisa, it's really the Gemara, it's in Aramaic, so obviously it's not a Braisa. So the Gemara's lashon is, if the father didn't do Pinyan HaBen, then he has to be paid himself. You don't have the middle stage. If the father doesn't do the Bezin, should do it. Bezin didn't do it. Why? Why should it be so? So on the side of the Aridea, they have Oris from the Chassam Sefer. So the Chassam Sefer says, because Pidyan HaBen is Zech and the Makas Becheris, and Makas Becheris is saying, Vavayat HaBen Tzama Laila is Ani Velo Yacher. Ani Hu Ani Velo Yacher. So just like Makas Becheris was done by the Ribbono Shel Olam in person, so the Pidyan HaBen should be done Zech and the Makas Becheris, Ani Velo Yacher, no one else should do it. It's very mechudish dik, very mechudish dik Ramo. He can't do Pinyan HaBen Aydei Acherim. So the Shach lived in Vilna. The Vilna Gaon also lived in Vilna. So the Shach quotes the Sefer Tzeda LaDerech. Tzeda LaDerech is a commentary on Pirush Rashi ala Torah. Like the Sipsa Chachamim is a likut from Rebellion Mizrachi and from the Gur Aryeh, from the Maral Miprag. A likut of several super commentaries on Rashi. So there's a Sefer Tzeda LaDerech. Tzeda LaDerech, I think, was one of the early Achronim, I think from the 1500s, if I'm not mistaken. Tzeda LaDerech, I think, was a Talmud of the Lavush. I'm not sure. Maybe early 1600s, I don't know. Anyway, the Shach quotes, every so often, he has a Chiddush LaHalacha, the Tzeda LaDerech. Like every so often, the Sipsa Chachamim has a Chiddush LaHalacha. We don't always accept the chidushim of the Sifse Chacham. There's a tshuva in the Chassam Sefer where he rips one of them apart. The Sifse Chacham has all chidush about Tzuadaka, Kroshovcha. If he married the Ether, then he's allowed to remain with his wife. So he said it's against the Mishnah. Chassam Sefer says that Sifse Chacham is against the Mishnah in Yavamis. It's not correct. So here the Tzeda LaDerech has a comment on Pirush Rashi. He says he doesn't understand this Rivosh. He says, why can't you do Pidyan HaBen Aydei Acherim? You never heard of Parei Chobe Shal Chavera? There are Mishnayos in the end, the last perek in Ksubis. Reuben owes money to Shimon, and then a good Samaritan comes and he pays the Chayv to Shimon. So does the good Samaritan have a right to go to Reuben and say, you owe me the money, I saved you. If I wouldn't have paid the money, Shimon would have been pestering you every day for years till you would pay him back the money. So does the good Samaritan who paid the money on behalf of Reuben, does he have a right to demand that Reuben should reimburse him? So it's a discussion in the last, in Mishnayos. It's a discussion. But the premise is that the chob is parua, the debt is paid up. So why shouldn't someone else be able to give Pidyan HaBen money? That's the Shach quotes that taina from the Sefer Tzeda LaDerech. The Bir Agro on all of Arba Chelka Shulchan Aruch usually doesn't give his own opinion. He just gives Mar Mekoymus. In the introduction to the Bir HaGro and Shulchan Aruch, so the children of the, written by the children of the Gro, so they write that they had, I think, four notebooks from their father. So three of the notebooks just give Mar Mekoymus on everything in the Mechab and the Ramah. They write that whereas the Bir HaGoyle, Bir HaGoyle was by the great-grandfather of the Vilna Gaon. The Bir HaGro and Shulchan Aruch works on the assumption that you're reading the Bir HaGoyle. Sometimes the first Bir HaGro on the Siman will write Shom. What Shom? Shom what? Shom means the same Maramokim that the Bir HaGolah wrote on the first line in the Shulchan Aruch applies to the second line. Shom means it's understood that you have to read the Bir HaGolah B'tziruf together with the Bir HaGolah. It was written L'chatchila like that. So the Bir HaGolah is just Maramokimus. And then he had a fourth notebook that they call Likut. Whenever, that's when the Vilna Gaon wrote his own original opinion. So every so often in the Bir HaGro, they write Likut Adkan. That's from the fourth notebook when he gives his own opinion. But usually you don't have like that. You know, usually you don't have a Likut. So once in a while, the Bir HaGro, in the Bir HaGro, where he's just supposed to give Mar Mekaymas, and he doesn't express his own opinion. Once in a while he'll write Ayin Zohar. Dua that the Rav Chaim Volozhiner spoke to the Vilna Gaon about a stira between the Gemara and the Zohar. Married people who are together and they sleep in the bed, should the bed be positioned north-south or should it be east-west? So there's there between the Zohar and the Gemara. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon said, there's never any stiras, there's only one stira between the Zohar and the Gemara. Are you allowed to walk toch dal ramos of a person who's davening Shmoneh Esrei? In front of him, you're not allowed to walk. What about behind him? So he said, that's the only place. And all the others, so they, when they write in the biographies of the Vilna Gaon, they write this story. So they write, and the Vilna Gaon explained to Rav Chaim Volozhiner why it's not a stira, about which way the bed should be. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner forgot what the answer was. But in the footnotes there, when they have the Aliyos Aliyom, the Soros Aliyom, when they have the biography books, so they quote 22 places where Achrayim say that there is a stira between the Zohar and the Gemara. And so apparently the Vilna Gaon thought that none of these are contradictions. So when you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says you're not allowed to walk in front of the one who's davening Shemoneh Esrei, but you're allowed to walk behind them. So Nebir Agrod says, Ayin Zohar, it tells you what the Zohar is. Ayin means that he's disagreeing. So here, when the Ramor writes from the Rivosh that you can't do Pidyon Ben Aydei Acherim, so the Nebir Agrod writes, Ayin Shach, period. Ayin Shach means he's disagreeing. Whenever he writes Ayin, it means that he's disagreeing. It means, look in the Shach quotes from the Tzedal Adarach, it doesn't make sense. So that was the minig in Vilna. That was the practice in Vilna. When a baby would be a yosem, there was no father. Obisban is in America, when the father's a goy. In Vilna, they had that was a very rare. An intermarriage. We had a case in Paramus, the father was a goy and the mother was a baskoyin. So the din is that a bas kohen has a baby, doesn't need pinyan adman, because of peterech metalia rachmana. But if the father's a goy, so that's called nivulol apostle apsola. So by the time the baby is born, she's already nivulol a goy. So then the Gemara says she's ois kohenes, she's not a kohenes anymore. So the din is that you need pinyan adman. We had such a case. The father was a goy and the mother was a bas kohen. When the baby was born, there was a baby boy that had to do pinyan adman. If the mother would have been a levia, married to a Nochri, living with a Nochri, so the Gemara says, there is no din of Nivola L'Apostle Apsola. If she's Nivola to a Goy, so she's not allowed to marry a Kohen later on. So if a Bas Levi is living with a Goy, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. But she doesn't become Nivola, she doesn't lose Kedushas Leviyah. So when the Gemara says, it's an interesting din, unless next to the last Perek M'Choris, has all the dinim of Pidyon HaBen. The last Perek M'Choris, Perek Maisa Behema. And next to the last perik is all about the pinyan adben, perik yesh b'chor. So the Gemara draws that contrast. If a bas levi is living with a non-Jew, the baby does not need pinyan adben, because she remains a leviya. But if the bas kohen is living with a nachri, so nivola l'pasam psola cancels her kedushas kuna. So the minig in Vilna was, that's a Dorach HaShulchan writes in Lithuania, and specifically in Vilna, because the Shach lived in Vilna. Shach had to run away when they had the Chmelnitsky riots, together with many other big Talmid HaChachamim. Chalkus Mechoikek lived in Vilna at the same time. Many others lived in Vilna then. So they all had to run for their lives. Chachm Tzvi. So the Shach and the Bi'ur HaGro, and the Rachel Shulchan writes, and Rabbi Soloveitchik said he remembered, that was the practice. The Bezin would do a Pidyon HaBen for the baby. If there's no father, the father's not alive. The father's a goy, so someone else would do the grandfather, someone else would do the pinyan adben. And the Chasam Sofer didn't live in Lithuania. So the Pischei Tshuva on Yeridei, Sim Shin Hei, quotes from the Chasam Sofer, because it's a machloike, so you should do pinyan adben twice. The Bezin should do pinyan adben on the Yom Lamed Aleph B'li Brocha, to be choshish for the Ramo B'Shem L'Rivosh, that no one else can do pinyan adben. And then, when the baby becomes my mitzvah, you should encourage him that he should do Pidyon HaBen again on his own, again, B'li Brocha. And in order that you shouldn't forget, so that's what the Ramo quotes from the Rivosh, that if there's no father to do the Pidyon HaBen, no one else can do it, so when the baby becomes my mitzvah, he has to do on his own, how is he going to remember that he has to do Pidyon HaBen? So you hang a chain around his neck, and it says, I am a Bchor, and I am not Nifteh. I was never nifted because I was a yosem and my father wasn't alive on the Yom Lamaral. So that was the meaning in other parts of Europe. They followed the Chasam Sofer's recommendation to be choshish for the both opinions. And in Lithuanian, the meaning was that they did a pinyan ben with a bracha. Bezin did the pinyan ben with a bracha on the Yom Lamaral.
Well, you did the second one without a bracha?
Maybe the first one was good already. Maybe the Bezin did it. Maybe they were ready, I'd say ready 13 years ago. So that's what the Chasam Sofer recommends. The Bezin should do pinyan ben on the Yom Lamaral of Misofik. Maybe the Shach is right with the Bir Agro, with the Tzeda Laderach. And maybe if the Rivosh is right, so the child should repeat the Pinyan Aben when he's 13 years old, again, believe Brocha. Maybe it was good 13 years ago. So you do it twice, believe Brocha, yeah. What's the answer to the argument? How can the Rivosh maintain such an opinion? Is Neredina Parei Chob Shal Chaver the Chob is Parua? The truth of the matter is that's a Sofik in the Mishlam Melech. The Mishnah says in the last Perek in Ksubas, there is a din, a Perek HaBishal Havero, he doesn't have to pay again. So the Mishnah Melech is Mesupik. Is that really the din? That if Reuven owes money to Shimon and a good Samaritan comes and he pays the Chov is Parua, maybe the Pshat is the Chov is not Parua. Maybe the Chov is only Parua if Reuven pays. The one is Mechuyev has to pay. But if the other person gives the money to the Malve, maybe it's self-understood that the Malva is moichel the debt to the Loive because he got this matana from the third party. Maybe the Chob is really not Parua. My nafkamina, bottom line, he can't ask the Loive to pay again. What's the difference whether you say the Chob is Parua or you say no, it's self-understood that the Malva is moichel. The nafkamina is, by Pidyon HaBen, the Kohen doesn't have the ability to be moichel. I'll be Pasha. How can the Kohen be moichel? Let's say the father wants to give Pidyon HaBen money to the Kohen. Kohen says, I'm moichel. You don't have to. Does the Kohen have the right, does he have the ability to be moichel the pinyan on Ben money? If he wants to, he can be a nice guy and give it back. No. The pinyan on Ben money is given, the chov is parua, and later the Kohen wants to give it back if he wants to. But can he be moichel in advance so you don't have to give it at all? So there is such a loshen in Tosfos in Ksubis, on Daf Nun Vav. Where is Ksubis? Beis Gimel, the bottom of the pile. Okay. Tosfos talks there about Masna Mashikasa about Torah. So long Tosfos starts on the Nun Vav Amaral, continues to Nun Vav Amid Beis. So in the Tosfos they talk about Nizikin and Erichin. A person takes a neder, Erko Alai, and he comes to pay the money to the Gizbar. So Tosfos says the Gizbar can be Meichel. The Gizbar can be Meichel. The person said, Erko Alai, the Gizbar has a balabas to be Meichel. How can it be? So the quote on the side, the Maharsha crosses out the word Erchen. How is the Gizbar balabas to be Meichel? On the top line, on Nun Vav Amud Beis, Maharsha crosses it out. And he thinks that it's a misprint. It should say Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is also a Pele. What do you mean? The Kohen is a balabas to be Meichel the Pidyon HaBen money. There's a whole Shevet Kohuna. He's Meichel. So give the Pidyon HaBen to someone else. If the Loiva buy money from the Malvis, then the Malvis is a balabas to be Moichel. But if you have to give Pidyon HaBen money, so why is this Kohen, this particular, my brother-in-law is a Kohen. So usually the people in the family do Pidyon HaBen by my brother-in-law. If he's Moichel, so go to a different Kohen. Not all the Kohanim in the world will Moichel. So that's highly questionable. The Marsha's Hagoah, you have to cross that Erechin, that doesn't make any sense. How can the Gizbar be Moichel the Erechin? But the question is, the Marsha's suggested that instead of Erechin to say Pidyon HaBen, why does that help? Why is he a balabas to be moichel on the Pidyon HaBen? Pashta says it is not shach mechila on Pidyon HaBen. So that should really depend on the sofik of the Mishlam Melech. When you parei chob shel chaver, so it's clear in the Mishnah in the last parak in Ksubis that the malva has no right to collect again from the Lord. Is it because the good Samaritan was parei chob shel chaver, the chob is parua? Oh no, it's self-understood that the Malva was Moichel. The Good Samaritan only gave him Matana to the Malva on the condition that he'll be Moichel the dead. Why should he have the right to collect twice? It's understood he doesn't want him to collect the second time. So if that's the word, not that the Chov is Perua, but rather that he was Moichel, so then Apinyin Aben, I'll be Pashtu, there's no Mechilu. Yeah. No, mitzvah de guf means, do I have to be poyed in myself, I have to be poyed in my son. So the pinyan abena myself is more important than the pinyan abena my son. But you only have five sloim, so you do the more important mitzvah, we have klolim. So one of the klolim is mitzvah de gufi adifa. It's better I should do the pinyan abena myself as opposed to the pinyan abena my son. But it doesn't mean it's a mitzvah shebegufo. Well, not a mitzvah shebegufo. Why should it be? Father has an obligation to pir aben. So what's wrong? The father gives the money to someone else, says, please, I'm not there. The father's in Europe, and the Yom Lamed Aleph. So he calls up on a telephone, he says to someone in New York, please do the pinyan aben on my behalf. And say, bro, I make you a shliach. Why can't you make a shliach? So that's one way to defend. That's one way to defend. The Rivosh. The Shah quotes from the Tzeidah Laderech on Chumash. He says, it doesn't make sense. Why can't you be? Never heard of Perei Chav Shal Chaver. Of course it's Perua. So of course Pidyan HaBen can be done by others. So it could be Perei Chav Shal Chaver is not Perua. Could be Perei Chav Shal Chaver works Midin Mechila. If it's Midin Mechila, so the Pashtus is not like that Maharsho. That the coin is not a Balabas to be Mechila. Furthermore, it's highly questionable whether Pidyan HaBen is really considered Piron Achov. The Tzeidah Laderech assumes a double poshut, and the Shach quotes it, it's a double poshut, Pinyan HaBen is Piron Achov. So the Pashta says that it's not correct. We had the Gemara earlier in the first Perek. The Gemara talks about when is Matan L'Manas L'Hachzir acceptable, and when is it not, on Vov HaMibay. So the Gemara said, by Pinyan HaBen, if you give a Matan L'Manas L'Hachzir, you yotze the mitzvah Pinyan HaBen. What if I borrowed $1,000 from the bank and I come back to pay the money? I give the money to the president of the bank. I'm matana manas lahachzir. So you're not yotze the piron. Piron have to give him the money. He should keep it. If you give him matana manas lahachzir, that's not good for piron. So the Gemara said beferish that if you give a pinyan aben a matana manas lahachzir, it's enough in the Gemara that you yotze. The two girsas in the Gemara, you look in the Rambam of the Kesef Mishnah, the two girsas. Is it also lachatchila to do that because nirik igoyin hamisayeya beveis agronis, or is it even muta lachatchila? Koin hamisayeya beveis agronis, that's based on a pasuk in Treyosu, shikatan bris alevi, that the matnas kuna, matnas levia, well, matan is that the Rabban Shalom wants you, she give the kohen, she give the levi. Let's say a koin, and the balabas has a right to give, he has a toibas anot, to give the truma to whomever he wants. He can give the maaserishin to whichever lady he wants. So let's say a kohen will come and help out in the beis hagoren. He'll do a little work in order to befriend the balabas, do work for nothing, in order that balabas should be friendly with him. And zetachazeh, so he'll give him the truma gedola. Or the lady will help out, so he'll give him the maaserishin. So the Gemara says, that's what the pasuk says, shichatam bris alevi, yumavazeh the matnas kuna. Baruch Shalom wants that the farmer should give the Truma Gedola, the Maaser Rishon, the Matana to the Koine, to the Levi, and the Kovet take away. Not that he should schnorre, he should come and help out, and because he did work, that's what I'm going to give it to him. That's not right. So if you're going to give Truma to the Koine and Matana, Manas L'Hachzir, so that's not right. You yotze the Matan's Kuna of Truma, you yotze it, but it's not right. At the end of the day, he's not going to be left with any money. The whole purpose, the whole idea of the Matan Skunin, that Kohanim Alevim didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So the Klal Yisrael, I'm going to support them. You have to give them something to live on, because they're not lechelik ba'aretz. So if you give Truma, Matan Amanas L'Achzi, the Gemara says, Yeyotze, but it's a violation of Koin Ham, Nirek Koin Ham Sayeya, the Beis Agron, not exactly, he didn't really do any work, but Nirek Koin Ham Sayeya, the Beis Agron is also a violation of Shechat and Bris HaLevi, not allowed to do that. So that's a Shaila, does that Shechat and Bris HaLevi, does that carry over to Pidyan HaBen also? Truma, there's Kedusha's Truma. So maybe Pidyan HaBen, there's no Kedusha in the money that you give to the coins. So maybe there's no violation of Shechat and Bris HaLevi. There's no Kedusha to Maaser Rishon either. And the Pashup Shat and Nigmar, Shechat and Bris HaLevi, Pashup Shat, it goes on Matnas Leviya also, not just on Matnas Kahuna. It goes on Maaser Rishon also, even though there's no Kedusha. That's what the Kesef Mishnah points out. That there are two girsas in the Gemara. Is it also lachatchila to give Trum, to give Pidyan HaBen, Matan HaManas L'Achzer? Or is it even mutter lachatchila to do it? But I'll call upon it from the fact that Rabbi Chana Vassaman quotes, I think, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Shkop, and that Gemara, from the fact that you can give Pidyan HaBen, Matan HaManas L'Achzer, you see it's not a Piran HaChay. It's not that you owe money to the kohen. It's a mitzvah nesina. And if you do in matanam and asla achzer, al pidin, that's called a nesina. You're yotzin a nesina. You wouldn't be yotzin if it's a piran achayiv. You wouldn't say that you're yotzin piran achayiv with that. So that's what they say. The taina of the tzei de la derech. You never heard about parei chovish al chaveiroi. Is not such a good argument. It could well be that the pidyon aden is not piran achov. We have a din both in Orach Chaim and Hilchos Shabbos and in Yerideas and Mishnei that you're not permitted to do pidyon aden on Shabbos and Yontif, even though the Yom Lamed Aleph falls out on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do. So you have to wait till after Shabbos is over. Who's the one who developed this din? So the one of the gedolim from before the war writes. The Rav from Pinsk writes like this in his Chuvas. Rabbi Wolkin. So he writes that he thinks in the Ikar Adin it's really Muta. This is a Chiddush that the Chumash Hadeshim came up with. He said he was Mechadashit. So he gives two reasons. The Chumash Hadeshim gives two reasons. Right. So he says, Piron Achov is a Mishnah in the end of Masechet Shabbos. Let's say I owe you money and I pay up the chayv on Shabbos, not with cash, I pay you up, I give you a meal. Let's say the meal is worth $15, $20. I owe you $20, I say, come eat by me, I'm going to give you $20 worth of food, and that'll be Piron Achov. So there's no issue of Muktzeh, but Piron Achov is us, Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. Just like Mekech HaMem, because Gzeir Hashem Yichtov, so Piron Achov is us, Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. So that's what the Chumash Hadeshim writes. You're not permitted to do pidyon aden Shabbos and Yontif because of gzeir shem yichtov. So that's what the Beis Aharon, Rabbi Wolkin, he points out in his Chuvas. He says he doesn't think it's a piran achayv. The fact that you can give him matanam and asla achzer, see, it's just a mitzvah nesina. It's not a piran achayv. And a mitzvah nesina, if this man hanesina is on Shabbos, then you are allowed to. The Gemara says, let's say you have bread or cake or cookies that are yechayv to be mafish challah. So if you baked it before Shabbos, if you made it before Shabbos, the chiyuv to be mafrish challah was before Shabbos, then the Gemara says, or let's say you were mafrish challah before Shabbos, you're not allowed to give it over to the Kohanim on Shabbos, because that matan's kuna was chal before. What if you need dough on Yontif? On Yontif, milisha bi'elech is mutam etam oichal nefesh. So you need dough on Yontif, so the chiyuv challah is chal, the chiyuv haprosh is chal, is chal on Yontif. So then the Mishnah is having the first perik in Beit, so you're permitted to be mafish challah. Usually not allowed to be mafish chumas and maisas achal on Shabbos and Yontif. But if the chiyuv to be mafish b'schal on Yontif, it can't be chal on Shabbos, you're not permitted to do malachas lisha. But on Yontif, milisha v'yelech is mutam mitam oichal nefesh. So if someone needs dough on Yontif, it comes in schay b'challah, both are permitted. You're permitted to be mafish b'challah, you're permitted to give the challah to the Kohanim. I the gzeir v'shem meyichtov. So there's no gzeir. The chiyuv nesina was chal on Yontif. So then there's no prohibition of mekach hamemka. So that's the taina that the Beis Aharon has against the Chumash Hadeshim. Then Chumash Hadeshim has another reason why he thinks that it's aser. He says the baby, it's mekach hamemka on the baby. The father is buying back the baby from the coin. So since he's buying back the baby, it's mekach hamemka. So that's based on the assumption. It's printed in the Siddur. Whenever the father does it, pidyon aden, so they have a whole text. So the father comes to the kohen and says, my wife, he says in Aramaic, my wife gave birth to a baby in a tetarechem, and the Torah says, I have to give you the pidyon aden. I have to negotiate with you. So the kohen asks the father, but my boy is tvei, which would you prefer to have? You want to keep your baby? You want to have your baby? Or you want the money? So the father says, I'd rather have the baby. So the kohen says, okay, I'll sell you the baby. Give me 5 shkolim and I'll sell you the baby. So the achronim say, the pischi tshuva already says on Simon Shin Hei. And if the father says, I don't want the baby, I'd rather keep my money. So that's it. So you give the baby to the kohen. He says, you're not yotze. You don't have any choice. That nusach that's printed in the Siddur that comes from the days of the kohen, it's an Aramaic. So that was for the chibur of mitzvah. That the father should say how much he would like to do the mitzvah pidyon aden. So he says, I'd rather have my baby than to... But he says, it's not really true. You're not buying back the baby. The Mishnah says, even if the baby died, if the baby dies within the 30 days and he's not alive on the Yom Lamed Aleph, then there's no chiyuv pidyon aden. But the Mishnah says in Perek Yesh Bechor, in Bechoris, if the baby dies after the Yom Lamed Aleph, then the chiyuv pidyon aden remains. Let's say the father didn't do pidyon aden. and the baby dies, and it's, so the din is he has to do pinyon haben even 20 years later. His wife had a baby boy, and the baby was alive, and Yom Lam and Alpteh was a chiv. So he's not buying back the baby. The baby's dead and buried. He's already decomposed. The whole body decomposed. You're not buying back the baby. The baby's also banor. A mace is also banor. You're not buying. So it's neither piron achayiv, nor is it mekra memke. You're not buying the baby. So that's what the Beis Aharon writes. This is a chiddush that Shmuel Sadeshin came up with. Maisa Shoya was that someone went ahead and they did a pidyon haben on Shabbos. They didn't ask any shayla, so they did pidyon haben on Shabbos, and they gave, I think, money. So the rav in the city said, terrible, terrible, you're not yotze the pidyon haben, you have to repeat it again on Sunday with a bracha. You're not yotze the pidyon haben on Shabbos. So they asked the Beis Aharon, what does he say? So he said, that's ridiculous. He says, Meikaradin, Medina de Gemara can do pidyon haben even on Shabbos. Yeah, don't give money. Don't handle mukta. Give him something else. Give him shavu kesem instead. Meikaradin is mutter. It's only a chumra from the Trumas Hadeshin. So lechatchila we observe, but to say b'diyevet, you're not yotze if you did pidyon haben, that doesn't make any sense at all.
They don't do it. Now it's not done anymore.
No, no. We follow this Trumas Hadeshin. That's, but he says it's not meikar Medina de Gemara. He thinks that it's mutter. He says it's a chiddush from that. Trumas Hadeshin achumra.
Doesn't the Gemara seem to imply that it's a pre-ask toll because if you only have five salam, you still have to give it? If it was a mitzvah, you only have to spend a fifth of your money. It seems like this is the only money you have and you still have to give it. Which would imply that it's clearly a pre-ask toll.
The Mishnah Brura asks that kasha. The Gemara, original Gemara in Ksubas Daf Nun says, Am evazvez al yevazvez yaisi mechomish, bu'usha hiskinu. When the Bez Nagadol, Eser Golias Golso Sanhedrin, at the end of the Bais Sheni period, so Keneged Eser Golias Golso Shechina, at the end of the Bais Rishon period, Yuman Rashana documents from Psukim in Nevi'im Uksuvim, that the Shechina left Bein Abadim, the Shechina left the Kodesh HaKadoshim in 10 stages, till it went back to the 7th heaven. So corresponding to the 10 Golias Golso Shechina, so at the end of the Bais Sheni period, Eser Golias Golso Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin used to be the Lishkas HaGozes, which was an office in the Beis HaMikdosh, in the Harabayis. Then they went to the Chanus, and they went to Yerushalayim, then they went to different places. So one of the stops was an end to the Bez Nagadol institution was discontinued. The Bez Nagadol was somewhere in Galil. And that's what the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes it, that Lasid Lavan, when the Bez Nagadol will reconvene, they'll reconvene in the same location where they met last, somewhere in the Galil. So the Gemara says that one of the locations was the city Usha, Shvaram, Tzipori, Tveria, all over there in the Galil. So Beusha Iskinu, the Bez Nagadol made a takana that Hamavazu Zayivazi Yais Mechemish. The Yerushalmi says that it was really Halacha Moshe Mesinai, and it was forgotten, and then they they announced it again. They rediscovered the din that was always known. Yeah. So the original Gemara goes on giving tzedakah. You shouldn't give hamavazos alivas yeshem chemish. Why? Shema yayani v'itztarach labrius. You shouldn't give so much charity to the poor that you yourself are going to go broke and you'll become poor. So what are you gaining? You're supposed to try to wipe out poverty in the world. I'm going to give away my last penny that I'll become poor. I'll have to schnar money from other people. So that doesn't make sense. So that's what the Shita Mekubetz says on that Gemara. Hamavazav Zayivaz Yais Mechemish only goes if you're giving tzedakah to anim. What if you're giving money to support yeshivas? So then the din doesn't apply. Then you're permitted to give even more than chemish. That's what the people who make appeals for yeshivas, so they always mention that. Shita Mekubetz is. Not everybody sits and reads the Shita Mekubetz, but the Chidor quotes it in the Birka Yosef on Yeriday in Hilchas Tzedakah. So he quotes the Shitim Kobetzes on Daf Samach, I think, in Ksubis. Amavazon, Alvaz Yas Mechamish, on the ghost if you're giving to Ani. So that's in the Gemara. Amavazon, Alvaz. And then the Gemara says, since the whole reason is Shema Yohani Mitzarech Labias, if the guy's on his deathbed and is giving away money to Tzedakah, it's not right to give away all the money to Tzedakah and not to leave anything for your Yorshim. That's he's being Mava Nachla. The Gemara says, Zoletahei Bavue Yachasanta. You shouldn't be Baba Nachla from your children, even if you don't get along with your children, even if the children are not so good, maybe they will later have children who will be good. So you shouldn't be Baba Nachla from your children. but if you leave the children $1 million, let's say the guy's a multimillionaire, leaves each one of the children $1 million, that's more than enough, we assume. Some of the poskim say you have to leave 51% of your assets to the Yorshim, And the 49% you can give to others. And Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, the Pischei Tshuva, in Hilchas Yerusha, in Yerideya, in Yen Chashem Mishpat, Paskin's against that. You don't have to leave 51% to your Yorshim, as long as you leave a Schum Hagun. So I think Rav Moshe writes, at the time he wrote the Tshuva, Moshe writes, if you leave $25,000 to each child, that's enough. That was a century ago. $25,000 is enough to buy a cigar today. It's not enough. So you leave $100,000, okay, some of that's maybe that's enough today. But then you can give all the rest away. So what if the guy's going to give? He's going to give each one of his nine children, I have nine, each one of nine children gets $100,000, and the rest he's going to give away to tzedakah. He's going to give everything away to tzedakah. So the Gemara says he's holding on his deathbed. So there's no concern, Shema Yoni Vitzdarach Lebi. So the whole reason doesn't apply. So the din doesn't apply. That's the Gemara Ksuba. The din doesn't apply. So you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, both in Hilchas Dalad Ninim, and the Ramah in Yerideh, Semen Kuf Nun Zayin, the Semen about Yoharek Val Yavah, to what extent is one obligated to be Moisa Nefesh for Shmiras HaMitzvahs? Sometimes you have to do B'chol Nafshecha Fila Noitolus Nafshecha. Sometimes the din is Yoharek Val Yavah. B'chol Miyodecha, B'chol Mamoincha, you have to spend your last penny. And sometimes not. So the Ramah says a difference between mitzvah sase and mitzvah lo sase. With respect to fulfilling mitzvah sase, not only with respect to giving tzedakah taliyim, shema yeyonim mitzvah labris, even with respect to fulfilling, performing a mitzvah sase, we say, not brief to spend more than chemish. Some of our writing point out, they're almost talking about shaking a lulav dalaminim. So the guy is stuck on Arab sukkahs. The only way he's stuck in Hawaii, Alaska, whatever. So the only way to get dalminim is to spend a fortune of money, more than chaymish, more than one-fifth of his total savings. So the Ramah says you're not mukhiv to, because next year he'll be back in civilization next year. And last year he shook a little, next year he'll shake a little. One year he won't, let's say, doesn't have a pair of tefillin for a couple of days. He's not mukhiv to spend more than chaymish in order to get a pair of tefillin today. He wore tefillin in the past, and wear tefillin next week, next month, and wear tefillin. Not mechuyev to spend more than chamish. What if the nature of the mitzvah is such, he'll just never fulfill a mitzvah, let's say the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the guy has money, years ago, the only way to go move to Eretz Yisrael is if he blows in more than one-fifth of his savings in order to move to Eretz Yisrael. So some of the Achrayim say, the nature of the mitzvah is such, if he's not going to spend more than chemish, he'll never fulfill the mitzvah for the rest of his life. So then some achrayim say this limitation, doesn't apply to such a situation. It only goes on a mitzvah that you do on an ongoing basis, like the Ramos talking about lulav, or tefillin, or something like that. So then you say you don't have to. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Aloch asked that kasha. How can you say, Chazanish asked the same kasha also, how can you say that you're not mukhiv to spend more than one-fifth in order to do a mitzvah? The Gemara says all he has to his name is the five slime. He has to give away the last five slime to do pidyon haben. So really you can insist in the Gemara, no, he has five times five slime. And the chaymish is five slime. He has 25 slime. And he only has five slime to spend for a mitzvah. You can insist on like that. The Posh B'Shat the Gemara is not so. Only has to his name is five slot. Don't you see that he's spending his last penny? So that's what they quote at the Yester Rav Chaim, the Kasha. The Gemara has a machloikas in Exubis and in Erechin. If I borrow money from the Malveh and I have to pay back the money, they say there's Shibir Aguf and there's Shibir Nechosim. So Shibir Aguf is a concept there, right? So I owe you the money. When you say, no, Shibura lav deraisa, and not only Shibur Nechosim is lav deraisa, even Shibur Akuf is also lav deraisa. So why does any loyva ever have to pay back the money to the Malveh if the Shibur Akuf is also lav deraisa? The Gemara says, it's a mitzvah, Priyas Balchoy mitzvah. What mitzvah, when mitzvah? Where is there a mitzvah in the Chumash, Priyas Balchoy? So Rashi says, Hein Tzedek. Rashi has to dig up a puzzle. Hein Tzedek. When you borrow the money, you promise to pay it back. Sheyei Hein Shalchot Tzedek, Lav Shalchot Tzedek. That's the Rashi Yang Subs there, the Pezayin on the Gemara. So the Gemara has this machlokes. Yeah, the Shach writes in Choshe Mishpat, in Simen Lamites, that Shita is Nitches Legamim in Aloche. It's a Sveke Dina, the long Shach says it's a Sveke Dina, whether you pass him Shibura Deraisa, Shibura Lab Deraisa, that's only, so he quotes 10 Rishonim on this side, 10 Rishonim on that side, But the Shibuta Deraisa, Shibuta Lab Deraisa, that's only a machlekes on Shibuta Nechasim. If you sold the karka to the Lukuchas, is that the ability of the Malva to collect from the Lukuchas, from the Yorshim, is that Deraisa Derabonim? But the Shibuta Aguf is sure that's Deraisa. So Rishach says, this Shita, the Gemara, is matcha that opinion. The Gemara rejects that opinion. It's only Priyas Pachayiv Mitzvah. We hold that the Shibuta Aguf for sure is Deraisa. But there was such an opinion in the Gemara that Priyas Pachayiv is purely a Mitzvah. So that's what the Yes Rab Chaim, the Priyas Pachayiv is only a Mitzvah. So let's say I borrowed $100,000 and it comes the end of the year, I have to pay back. All I have is $100,000. I only have to pay you back 1/5 of it. I only have to pay back $20,000. So if you say this is Shibud Aguf, so Shibud, you have a right to collect the money, collect all the money. But if you say it's only Priyas Pachayiv Mitzvah, so whenever it comes to Mitzvah, the Dinas HaMevazvei, the Rambam says, you don't have to spend more than 1/5 of your total savings, so you only have to pay back $20,000. So if you hold that Priyas Pachayiv is only Mitzvah, we don't hold like that, so there's no kasha. But according to that opinion, the Shach said that opinion was rejected in the Gemara. We don't. Gemara says, "In the Freiman, I Yisayim Melam Kain Ribis Achelus Bam." If the man who owes the money died, and we want to collect from the Yorshim, you have no right to collect until it become Bar Mitzvah. Yisayim Miktan, you have no right to collect until Bar Mitzvah. Elam Kain Ribis Achelus Bam. If the Choyv is going to accumulate a bigger debt, if you're going to wait to live Bar Mitzvah, then you collect now. But if the chayv is not going to become bigger, if you postpone, so you wait till after they become bar mitzvah. Gemara has two explanations why. Why is enich from enich say semu kain ribis achel etem? So one reason that the Gemara says beferish is rejected in erchin, in mishnah erchin, perik shuma yisayman. So the Gemara says because piyas b'chayv is mitzvah, and yas me'ilah b'rei mevin mitzvah. The ktanim are not mukhayv to perform mitzvahs. Even though there's a din of chinuch, so the Rashi works on that. What happened to the din of chinuch mid the rabbanon? But in the Torah, he said miktanim are not mukhiv to do mitzvah. So the Shach says, Gemara rejected that shita. We don't pass like that. But the Yes Rab Chaim, according to that opinion, there was such an opinion in the Gemara that the priest b'chayv is purely a mitzvah. Even shibur aguf is lab deraisa. There is no shibur aguf. Not only is no shibur nechos min haTorah, there isn't even shibur aguf min haTorah. So if the fellow owes $100,000 and that's all he only has to pay $20,000. That's what the Mishnah Brewer and the Bir Aloch and Hilchas Lulav, and they quote B'Shem Rab Chaim, they give the same answer. They were contemporaries, Chavetz Chaim, Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim passed away way before the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim lived to a ripe old age. He was almost 100 when he died. Rab Chaim was only 65 when he died. So Chavetz Chaim was older than Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim died at a much younger age. So they both gave the same answer that HaMevazvei, the Ramah holds, HaMevazvei, Zalivaz, yes, Mechomish even applies to mitzvahs, not only to charity in the context, the Gemara is only by giving tzedakah la'anim. That's what the Shittim Kabetz said, it doesn't even apply to give t'micha to yeshivas, that you are permitted to give more than chomish. Because the reason, Shema Yonim, it's Tarech Labir, only applies to tzedakah la'anim. But the Ramah extended it. Ramah quotes Rishonim who extended it, it even applies to mitzvahs asay. He not mukhayev to observe a mitzvah is going to cost more than chaymish. So that only applies when it's a mitzvah of tefillin, a mitzvah of tzitzis, a mitzvah of lulav, a mitzvah of hasukah, something like that. But if the nature of the mitzvah is to give money to somebody else, so then this limitation doesn't apply. So both by priyas b'chayv mitzvah, even if you hold that there's no shibur aguf deraisa, and by pinyan aben, even if you say the pinyan aben is not a chov, not piron achov, but the nature of the mitzvah is to give money to someone else, that this is the mitzvah. When I spend money to buy a lulav, so the spending of the money is the heksher mitzvah. That's not the mitzvah itself. Here, by giving pinyan aben money, that is the mitzvah itself. So that, what is it called? Hamavazveis. Hamavazveis al yavaz yas mechamish. Inam buchiv to spend more than chaymish is a hachone to perform a mitzvah. Buchiv to spend up until chaymish, the Rama holds. Inam buchiv to spend more than a chaymish in a hachana, in a heksha mitzvah. But if the giving away of the money is the mitzvah, so that you mechayev even if it's more than chaymish. Asvara lechalek. Asvara lechalek.
So that comes, he did it last week, he'll do it next time. Pidgin Abed is very unlikely that, unless he gets married again, has another wife and the first child, boy again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's something that doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, but Mestama next year, he'll have more parnasa. Means right now, all he has to his name is five sloim. Next year he'll make more money. Next month he'll make more money. He'll be able to do it next month. So does he have to run to give the pinyan then now, even though it's more than Chaimish, or can he assume that maybe in the future he'll win a lottery?
That you have to do that this month, that is an issue.
L'chatchili should do pinyan aben on the Yom Laman Aleph. That's a big deal in Rishayim and in Achrayim. There's a din of mila bismana, mila shaloi bismana. So mila bismana is a more complete kiyam mitzvah. Mila deicha Shabbos in Yontif is only mila bismana. Mila shaloi bismana is not deicha. So that's a question in Achrayim whether pinyan aben Rishayim also pinyan aben bismanoi. Is that the mitzvah b'shlimus that to do pinyan aben dafka on Yom Laman Aleph? Oh no, it's not a mitzvah more b'shlimus. It's rizmak demila mitzvah. Why should you wait? Why should you postpone to do tomorrow what you can do today? Do it today. Other people have the attitude, why do today what you can do tomorrow? And Halacha says, when it comes to a mitzvah, why do tomorrow what you can do today? It's rizmak demila mitzvah. So that's a deal. That's the Trumas Hadeshin came up with this chiddush that if the Yom Laman Aleph is on Shabbos, we don't do the pinyan aben on Shabbos. So according to some Rishonim and Achronim, he killed the mitzvah b'shlei Musa. The mitzvah b'shlei Musa. You see, the way the Beis Aharon explains, it's a chumrah that was invented by the Trumas Hadeshin. So you're not doing them, according to those who hold that the mitzvah b'shlei Musa is if you do pinyan aben on Yom Laman Aleph, you kill the whole mitzvah. You're to the mitzvah shelo b'shlei Musa, but Torah's tashlumen. Like a milu shelo b'zmana, the Rishonim have a loshen, it's a tashlumen for the mila bismana. The more correct mitzvah b'shlei Musa is to the mila bismana. Yeah, where do you see some Rishonim hold that to do pinyan aben on Yom Lamed Aleph is a mitzvah b'shlei Musa? There's a shita l'noi de l'mi on Kiddushin quotes the following opinion. Well, we don't need a shita l'mi. The Ramban on Pcheres quotes it also, so you don't need a shita l'noi de l'mi. There's an opinion from the Goinim that the father gives five sloim. The din is if I'm paid in my own Maisel Shein, I have to be Moisev Chaimish. Let's say the Paris are worth $100. So if I'm paid in my own Paris, Maisel Shein, I have to give $125. Chaimish means 25%. When I give 125, the 25 is Chomish of 125. We would have said 25%. And the Chomish calls it Chomish. Okay, it's confusing. So the Goinim came up with such an idea. When you do pinyan aben on the Yom Lamed Aleph, you get away with giving five sloim. Pinyan aben and five sloim. But if he postpones the pinyan aben to the next day, then since it's his baby, he has to be Moisef Chaimish. He has to give more than five sloim. We don't do that. So the Ramban makes fun of it. Ramban rejects it. But there was such an opinion. So clearly they're of the opinion that the pinyan aben bizmana is not just Rizim Akdim Lamitzvah. It enhances the Kiyama Mitzvah. It's considered more of a Mitzvah B'Shalei Musa, like Mila Bizmana, as opposed to Mila Shaloi Bizmana. The Rashash and Perik Yesh Bechor. Rashash and that Perik. And Bechoris talks about it. Other Achrayim also talk about it. It's a Diyun in Achrayim. But you have already in Goinim, the Rishonim quote from the Goinim, that you have to be Moisev Chaimish if you do the Pinyan Aben, Shaloi Bizmana. Yeah, if the Yom Laman Aleph turns out on Shabbos or Yontif, so we follow this, it says in Arachayim Hilchot Shabbos, it says in Yeridayim, in Simishin Hei, it says we do the Pinyan Aben after Shabbos, we don't do on Shabbos. So the Shabbos, they do it on Metzoy Shabbos, they do it on Sunday morning. So that's two versions, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch versus the Chayodim. Should you do it? I thought, why postpone till Sunday what you can do on Metzoy Shabbos? You can do it night. So the minig is that the Shach quotes, the minig is that you do pinyan aben bayom. The Netziv has a tshuva in a Meshed Dover. He interprets a Gemara. He thinks that Bizmana Gemara, the practice was they did pinyan aben leil lamed aleph. But our minig is that we do it yom lamed aleph. We don't do it leil lamed aleph. Why do we do pinyan aben only bayom? Why not by Lilo? It's an old minig. So they're not sure exactly why. They give six different reasons. Obviously, he gives six different reasons. We're not so sure about any of the reasons. Any of them are correct. So one of the reasons that they give, the Shach says the reason why you have pinyan aben only by Yom, because the Gemara says in the last Perek in Yuma that blind people don't enjoy their food as much as people who can see. Because when you see delicious food, your mouth starts to develop, you start to salivate, And part of the hanoah is before you taste it, when you smell it and you look at it. So the blind people can't see So they don't enjoy the food as much. So that's what they say. The minig is that you make a suda when you make pinyan aben. So if it's balayla, it's going to be dark. So you want the people won't enjoy the suda. So you should always do pinyan aben bayom. So if that's the reason why, if you turn on the lights, bayos always when you have anything at night. We have weddings at night. You turn on the lights. Laila kayom yo'ir. If you turn on the lights, it's just as light as it would be in the daytime. So then you can have the pinyan aben balayla b'leil amanam. So that's the official reason that the Shach gives. Is that you do pinyan aben bayom, that the people should enjoy the meal better. And according to that, if you turn on the lights, there's no problem. Others say because pinyan aben is zecher le makas b'choris, and makas b'choris was in the daytime. It wasn't at night. Right? It says b'feresh in the chumash not so. Right? B'chzi alaylo. So they quote, if you look in the masecha smachos, that's hilchas avelos. Smachos is a loshen saginor, hilchas avelos. So the first line, the introduction to Maseches Machas, before you start the Dinim of Avelis, the first paragraph before the Maseches Machas begins, says, Hashem Hiko Kol B'chor Be'eretz Mitzrayim at midnight, they were brain dead in the middle of the night, but they were mefarperim, they were tossing around till the morning, and they dropped dead in the morning. So since Machas B'choris occurred Bayom, so Zech and the Machas B'choris, we should do Pidyan Aben Davka Bayom. Anaya didn't. Where do you have a din like that? Others say Mishpat Ksivbe. The Gemara has in the end of Chulin, Gemara talks, it says the word Mishpat, just like Mishpat is Bayom. So ask the halls to be Bayom. A funny explanation. The way it's usually assumed, the more popular explanation is that the Shach quotes an opinion. There's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah and Yesh Bechor. They do pidyan aben on the Yom Lamed or the Yom Lamed Aleph. So the Gemara says, we pass like the Tani do on Yom Lamed Aleph. So the Shach quotes an opinion from the Rishonim. One of the Rishonim has this. That pidyan aben should be done after the shear of a month. Ben Chodesh Tifteh, a month is the amount of time, the difference between one moilad and the other. So one moilad and the other, every month is different. It depends how close the earth is to the moon. It depends on a lot of mathematics and physics. But the average is Chavtas Yom Yud Beshoes Tash Tzak Chalok. So that's what the 29 and a half days and change. 13 hours, right? 29 days and 13 hours. So if you do Pidyan Aben B'Leil Lamed Aleph, a lot of times that'll be before the Chavtas Yom Yud Beshoes Tash Tzak Chalokim. But if you do Pidyan Aben Bayom, so most of the time it'll be after. Not always. Let's say the baby was born a minute before Shkia. So then the Chav Taz Yom Yud Beshoes Tash Tzak Chalokim won't be until later. Baby was born, what time is the Shkia now? 7:30. Later in the summer, the Shkia is 8:30, I think. So the baby is born 8:29. So the Chavtas Yom Yud Beshoes Tatzak Halokim won't be over till even in the morning it won't be over. I remember once one of the boys in the yeshiva when he was born, so his Pidyan Aben was on Chalamoid Pesach, so I attended the Pidyan Aben. So everybody came and the father of the baby said I should speak before the Pidyan Aben because it's not yet Chavtas Yom Yud Beshoes Tatzak Halokim. So I was about to wind up my drasha, so he said, could I please speak another 10 minutes? Because it's not yet this month. So I need Chavtas Yom Yud Beshoes. I spoke, I filibustered another 10, 15 minutes. Said another daughter. Okay. So that's the, from all the six reasons that they give, that's the most mistabedikah reason. But all the reasons are highly questionable. If you have a Shas HaTchak, then you do the Pidyan Aben Balayla. Moshe has a tshuva that, in the first volume of the day, I think, that the parents made a mistake. They thought that you do Pidyan Aben on the Yom Lamed. So they had a caterer, they invited everybody, and the Kohen comes and he said, when was the baby born? He said, you can't do Pidyan Aben today, it's supposed to be tomorrow afternoon. But the whole thing is catered already, so what are they going to do? So the common practice is that you do Pidyan Aben at the end of the day on the Yom Lamed Aleph. That's also a big deal, and why don't you say Zviz Magdim in the Mitzvah? Why do you wait till the end of the day? You should really do it early in the day. So the reason why they do later in the day, because people go to work. So they're going to come, you have a crowd, you're going to have it in the morning, no one's going to show up. If you have a bris in the morning, for some reason or another, everybody will show up. But if you're not been in the morning, the people will simply not show up. So they want to have Beroy Vam Hadras Melech. So the question is, when you have a toss-up between Beroy Vam Hadras Melech and Tzvi Zimakdim La Mitzvahs, so which one takes precedent? So the Achrayim point that, so Beferish Yigemar in Rosh Hashanah, that Tzvi Zimakdim La Mitzvahs takes precedent. Zimar says, why do we blow Shofar in the middle of Chazar Sashat Samusav? We should really blow Shofar in the middle of Shachris. The Gemara says, well, a lot of people will not be there in Shul. Here for the Shul. The Shul is empty in the middle of Shachris. By the time it comes Musaf, everybody will be in Shul. So if Shachris is going to be a lack of Beroy Vam Hadras Melech, the Gemara says, so what? Zvi Zimakdim Le Mitzvahs takes precedence over Beroy Vam Hadras Melech. So you really should have blown Shofar in the middle of, you should say Malchis and learn the Shofars in Shachris in order to have Tkiyas Shofar in the middle of Shachris, not in the middle of Musaf. The Mishnah writes that you do Tkiya Shofar in the middle of Musa, because at that time, in the days of the Tanaim, there was a persecution from the Romans. They were afraid the Jews were rebelling against the government, so they're going to blow Shofar. That's the call to war. When you blow Shofar, that's when you rally the troops to rebel against the government. But when they were davening Shachris and Musaf and everything, so they see the Jews, this is all religious ceremonies, and when we blow Shofar, they understood it's part of our religion, it's not a rally to call to war. Why do we still do it today? It's a pella, so Tyson says, Tyson works out of there. Problematic. Why do we still do it today? In America, we're going to blow Shofar and Shachris. They're going to think, the American government, Mr. Trump, is going to think that rebelling against the government, it's problematic. But the Achrayim say, you see from that Gemara, that Zviz Magdein HaMitzvah really takes precedence over Beroy Vam Hadras Melech. So that's what they said. It's really not right. You should really do Pinyon Advent first thing in the morning, after Shachris. It's not right what we do, but that's the common practice. Everybody does Pinyon Advent late in the afternoon on the Yom Laman Amser. Rav Moshe has this Shaila. Someone called him up. What do we do? They invited everybody. So Rav Moshe says they should stall off till Laila, when it's Tzeisa Kochavim. So Mi'ikavid, then you can do Pinyon Advent Leil. So here it says Shas HaTchak, so we permit you to do the Pinyon Advent. Shas HaTchak, they have the caterer. Everything's all set up. You're going to lose all the money for today, then have another party tomorrow. So he says, such a Shas HaTchak, we allow them to do the Pinyon Advent, Leil Lamed Aleph. Or over here, one of the secretaries who still lives in a neighborhood, so they had a grandchild. So it was in the middle of the winter, and it was the Pinyon, the Yom Laman Aleph was on a Friday, and it was a short Friday. So who's going to come to the Pinyon Advent? People have to run to work, they have to go home. Shabbos is 4 o'clock already, what are you going to do? So they asked Rabbi Shvab, are they permitted to have the Pinyon Advent on Leil Laman Aleph on Thursday night? So Rabbi Shvab said, under these circumstances, he would recommend. It's also Shas HaTchak, do the Pinyon Advent, Leil Laman Aleph. If you can see to it that it should be after Chav Tas Yom, Yud Beshoes Tash Tzak Chalokim. That's Matov. But Mikradin, we really don't pass like that. Mikradin, as long as it's Yom Lamed Aleph, Mikradin, it's good. Yeah, how do we get involved in this? Yeah. So we don't do Pinyon Aben on Shabbos, but it's really a psachumer from the Trumas Hadeshim. According to some Rishonim, Goinim, and Achronim, we're losing out. We're not fulfilling the mitzvah Bishlemus, because Pinyon Aben Bismanai enhances, just like Mila Bismana is a more complete mitzvah. So some Goyim and Rishonim hold that Pinyon Aben Bismana is a more enhanced mitzvah.
If Pinyon Aben Bismana holds, why is there a Shiva Nechasim?
Yeah, the Gemara says there's a Shiva Nechasim. There's a Shiva Nechasim on any mitzvah. They asked that to Rab Soloveitchik, so he said, it says the father is Mechuyev to get a Moel to be Mala's son. That's the first Gemara. The father called mitzvah ben ala av. The father's mechuyev, the mother's not mechuyev. So the father's mechuyev to spend money to hire a malamed to teach his son Torah and to do the bris milah. So the more correct practice is the moel should do the bris milah for nothing. What if the moel is not going to come unless you pay money? So it says the father has an obligation to spend money. Like you have an obligation to spend money to get a lulav, have an obligation to spend money to get a pair of tefillin. You have to fulfill the mitzvah. You have an obligation to spend money. What if the father is a cheap guy? He doesn't want to. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you're kaifa, you're yordim l'nechosav, and the bezin should sell his assets and pay a malamed to teach his son. So a malamed to teach his son, the father has to teach. It's not a chiv. It's not a chov. It's not a monetary chov. It's It's a chiv to teach your son. If you're busy or you don't know how to learn, you have to hire a malamed. You have to get a malamed to teach. The malamed doesn't want to do it for nothing, so you have to pay him money. So it says that there's a shib and a chosim on that also. There's a shib and a chosim whenever you have to perform a mitzvah. So there's a shib and a chosim to the chosim on meshubed to be able to do the mitzvah.
If the guy has no money and he sold the property, you could take that property.
Yeah, that's what the Gemara says by the Pidyon Aben. The same thing by the Malamed. Yeah, it depends. That the Tosis explain, Rashi and Tosis explain. It depends if he sold the karka, sold the property before he had the child, then he wasn't yet mechuyev in chinuch habein. I mean, if he sold the property, if the person sold his karka to the lukuchas before he borrowed the money, so then the shib and the chosim is not chal mafreya on the karka that he already, it didn't belong to him at the time that he borrowed the money. But if he owned the karka at the time that he borrowed the money, or he bought the karka later and he wrote shib de'ekne, is mishabed even the chosim that he'll buy in the future, then it's chal. So if I had a kotn shalohi gil chinuch, I sold the karka before my child was a gil chinuch, so I wasn't yet mechuyev to be mechanech the child. But if the child is ready, he gil chinuch, then I sell a karka. So then nishtab do hanachosim, just like nishtab do hanachosim for the purpose of pidyon aben. There's a shib nachosim with respect to all mitzvahs. That's what you see from the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea by the father nishtab do hanachosim with respect to teaching the child Torah, with respect to the bris milah. It's not a chiv of paying money. It's a chiv to do a bris milah. But if the mol doesn't, you can't get a mol to do it for nothing, then nishtab da hanachasim, and achinam, you can collect from the lukuchas. If you sold the karka after the Yom Shmini, sold the karka before the Yom HaShmini, so he wasn't yet mechuyev in bris milah, so it wasn't yet nishtab da hanachasim. But if you sold the karka after, then you can collect from the nachasim mishubadim also. Okay, correct. Yeah, that's the machlokes hatanai. Yeah, the milvaks about Turkic sulu bishtar dam yonat. Yeah. So the Gemara says the father is mechiv to do pinyon aben. If the father doesn't do, he has to do on his own. And most of the poskim disagree with the Rivosh that if the father is not, the father's a goy, the father's not alive. So the bezin does the pinyon aben. Bekatnus, the bezin does it on his behalf. Then the Gemara says, why aren't the women mechuyev to do pinyon aben on their baby son? The Gemara says, because they're not mechuyev to do pinyon aben on themselves, because their father is not mechuyev to do pinyon aben on them, so they're not mechuyev to do pinyon aben on their children either. Shai, the Gemara has the whole yalfus.
They can't do
pinyon aben on themselves. A woman, her father is not mechuyev to do pinyon aben on her.
Because she's not a son.
Right, she's a female, so therefore she's not mechuyev at all to do pinyon aben on herself. So therefore she's not mechuyev to do pinyon aben on her son either. That's how Gemara learns that from the psukim. It's all totally interconnected. If the father is not mechuyev to do on the female children, on the daughters, then the daughter is not mechuyev to do when she becomes a bas mitzvah either. That's what we would say. The Gemara learns that the Gemara has established it from psukim. By us, it's a double portion. Here the Gemara is establishing this idea. Then the Gemara said, the male of the mother is not mechuyev to do pinyon aben on her son either.
You don't use that by bris, yes, right?
Because you don't have psukim. Here you have psukim by pinyon aben. Everything is indicated by the bris. They had a different posse. Also below also. Kashatziba also alakim, also below also. Yeah. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. Lineta, tomorrow is a normal day? Okay. So we'll start from... two lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan, Atosefta. Okay. Tana Rabbanan.
Rabbi, the Gemara says that father can't hire a malamed in some of your, where you're the one hustle?
No, I think it's the Rabbanan, you're the day.